Coming up on today's episode, we break down the Jets' win over the Red Wings as the top line remains en fuego heading into the holiday break.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right, time to dive right on in as only a couple days before Christmas and some time off for everybody over the holidays. So let's try not to waste any time here. Joining me once again is CJOB's Tyson Rewicki. How we doing, Tice? How we feeling?
Doing much better than after our last episode. So tomorrow, or I guess today when people are listening to this, but today is the biggest write-off day of the year. It's the biggest, everyone's, the last Friday before Christmas, everyone's just like, if you show up, you're showing up and you're putting your 8 hours in, you're getting out. So I love Christmas, I'm pumped.
Nice. Kelly, pre-signed by Kelly Moore? I wonder if he listens to the podcast.
Oh, I'm hosting Jets at Noon today, so I actually have to do some work. I actually do have to do work, but for most people.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I bet. How now, on the 21st, as we're recording this, have you done all your Christmas shopping?
I have.
Good job. I'm impressed. All right.
Yes. What about you?
Yep. Got it. It was a little under the wire, but we got it done. We figured it all out today. Also got pictures with Santa and no screams. No screams. Nice. It's the biggest of all W's. So, yeah. I mean, vibes are high with the fam. Vibes are high here in Winnipeg because the Jets just keep on rolling after a minor setback on Monday against the Montreal Canadiens. The Jets bounce back in resounding fashion, Tyson, with a 5-2 victory over the Red Wings on Wednesday night. And, I mean, I wonder when it's not going to be the case because it's been the case for 8 days now. But the top story, once again, is the top line. Another dominant performance by Scheifele, Ehlers, Vilardi. I'm not going to ask you, are you getting sick of this? Because I don't think anybody's getting sick of watching these three play together. But, man, it's something. You're getting the feeling that it's something special here, right? Like, it's a little more than, ooh, we got ourselves a good top line here in Winnipeg. It might be. We might have to go nickname time. We might have to start doing ranking, all that stuff. I mean, these guys are just, they're filling the net and nobody has an answer for them across the NHL right now.
Yeah, they are a top five line in hockey at this moment.
Ooh, I like it.
Without a doubt. I don't even think it's
crazy. Well, should we get into just ranking them right now? Because sure. I've got a list. That's kind of where I was trying to lead you with it. And then you just dropped a bomb 1 second in. So, I mean, why even waste it right now? But let's go over some of the top lines in the league. And then we'll see if, I mean, just kind of doing it, you know, glancing over it briefly. Easy top 10 line, in my opinion, with how well they're playing right now. Top 10 line in the NHL. How high do they go? Well, let's start, I mean, let's go alphabetically here. Anaheim, Arizona, LOL. Boston. Zacha, Marchand, Pasternak.
See, like, I mean, I...
That's kind of tough. That one's it's a little, like, just because they've got, like, the seniority, right?
Yeah. It's, I mean, I'll give it to them. Because
Let's give it to Boston, yeah. Let's not jump the gun a little bit there, but...
There have been times, too, that those three haven't played together that much this year. So it's kind of, I think over the last, like, 20 games or so, they've been playing together, but... They're open to moving them up or switching them up every now and then.
Yeah, Zacha just kind of makes it a bit of an argument. But for now, well, Boston at least is debatable, I think. But we can put Boston ahead of Winnipeg right now. Calgary, I mean, they won't have anybody in a couple weeks. Doesn't matter. Carolina, not the same team. Chicago, maybe in a few years. I mean, as it stands right now, I think Colorado with their top trio that they've loaded the top line, and it's McKinnon, Rantanen, and Nichushkin. We'll give the edge to Colorado there. I think that might be fair. But after that, I mean, that might be the best line in hockey right now. It's certainly the most prolific in terms of production at the moment. So I can understand putting Colorado there. Dallas, what do you think about Dallas with Hintz, Pavelski, Robertson?
I'm going to say the Jets trio is better. If we were talking last year, I'd probably give it to Dallas, but it's just with Jason Robertson, it hasn't, I mean, obviously he's still having a very good season, but it just hasn't been the same sort of season as last year.
Yeah. And like so, it's, for him, it's a quiet point a game.
Yes.
The whole line's at a point a game essentially right now.
Yeah. But it's just like you mentioned, it's quiet. It's not like the, where he was borderline MVP level last year. Like that's just, to me, that's a really good line. That's just a little bit below the Jets.
Interesting. I might disagree with that, but that would, yeah, again, debatable. Next up, we'll move past Detroit. I mean, I don't know how you do Edmonton, because it's like,
yeah,
well, McDavid. Oh. But I mean, even like Zach Hyman might be the Oilers' best forward this year, and that's not even like right. So I mean, I think we'll give Edmonton. I mean, you get the all that stuff. Yeah, Edmonton, that's fair. Florida with Barkov, Rodriguez, Reinhardt.
I'm gonna give it to them.
I would agree with Florida. Reinhardt's doing the old contract year. I'm gonna cash in big time, sort of a thing. And Barkov's gonna win the Selke. So
yeah,
that's a fair one there to push Edmonton, Florida ahead. L.A. Kopitar, Kempe, Byfield.
Not yet.
I would agree, especially since Velarde party absolutely wiped out the Kings a few days ago. After that, I mean, the next closest, New Jersey. I mean, Jack Hughes is the best player comparing their line to the Jets line, but as a trio, I go Winnipeg still, even though Hughes is amazing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like if let's say Hughes and Heeshire switch spots and it was Hughes, Bratt, and Palat, that would make it a little bit more closer, in my opinion. But as it is right now, definitely Jets over the Devils.
And then after that, to kind of speed things up a little bit, I mean, then I think we go to Tampa Bay, Point, Kucherov, Nick Paul's up there on the top line now. I mean,
yeah,
Point and Kucherov's pretty nasty. And Kucherov's leading the league in scoring, so maybe you give a slight edge to Tampa Bay in that one. Toronto would be next. Matthews, Nylander, and Matty Nyes.
Yes.
Yeah, Matthews and Nylander are, yeah, that's, no, yeah, I think you got to go with Toronto, unfortunately, there. And then Vancouver, I mean, again, though, this is the tough thing with Vancouver, like, Pettersson's out of this world, but right now, at the moment, he's playing with Mikheyev and Suter, Pius Suter. So it's like,
crazy.
That just yeah, like, it's like, guys. I mean, Pettersson's the best player, but as far as a line goes, I think you'd probably rather have the Jets line, as opposed to Pettersson and two middle six scrubs.
Yeah.
To put it nicely. And then finally, Vegas with, at the moment, Eichel, Stone, Barbashev.
No. I'm leaning Jets still.
That one's a tough one. I mean, but if you look at it as a whole, Tyson, to me, 1, 2, 3, I mean, I would say 4 to 5 teams you would definitely put ahead of the Jets top line right now. But a lot of that is also because you're like almost leaning a bit towards what those groups have done in the past. Like they have a bit more of a track record together, Boston, as opposed to it's been 5 games, right?
Yeah.
Like it's been amazing games, but they just haven't done enough right now to maybe warrant, hey, you know, like we're just going to put them ahead because they've had a great couple of weeks. But I agree. I mean, top 10, they've got to be in the top 10, even though there's some great lines that we mentioned there. And I mean, if they keep this up, it's going to be it's going to be almost impossible to push them out of one of the five best lines in the NHL. The crappy thing and the crazy thing is how good this line's playing, and you're like, it's the third best line in the Central Division. Like, come on. But even then, like, they've just performed so amazingly well. And it's awesome to have the conversation of, you know, how filthy is this line in terms of top five, top 10 in the NHL. But I mean, the production slow down? It might. It's not one of those things where it's like a percentage fueled bender they're on, though. You know what I mean? Like, there's the underlines under the hood. It matches what everybody's seeing out there on the ice. And I mean, there's the chance as they play more and more together, they might even be more effective. And on top of it all, like Velarde's, I mean, it seems like each game he's taking another step. Ehlers is getting more and more comfortable, and Scheifele's playing maybe as good as he's ever played right now. Like, I don't get the sense that they've peaked, I guess, is kind of my ultimate point here, that there still might be another level, or at the very least, they maintain this high level over the course of a few more weeks or a few more months here.
Yeah, and I don't even think that line played out of this world yesterday either. Like, I thought that they were just, like, they had a solid game against the Wings. Now, production-wise, it was a good game for the trio, but, like, I still think that we're scratching the surface on what this line can potentially be down the road. Like, you see the flashes of skill. Like, that one backhand in the slot by Velarde, where it just ripped that thing. That was one of the hardest backhanders I've ever seen. When he took that shot, I was expecting it to just be like a flipper over the net, and all of a sudden he just sends it. Like, it was like the skill that these three have together is really crazy. And the way Scheifele's playing, the way Velarde's playing, the way Ehlers is playing, like, these three guys, they're really clicking. And they know where each other are going to be on the ice. The only thing that you can really pick apart is the power play. And I think eventually that's going to get going, but like these three guys, just, you have that ability to put a line out where it doesn't matter what the score is in the game. It doesn't matter how good they've played throughout the game. When you need a goal, you're throwing them out there, and you feel pretty good about your chances about that line scoring a goal. And it's just, even the little things too. Like, we all look at the goals, assists, and just think, oh yeah, no, they're really producing, but there's a lot of things that this line's doing that is leading to their production too. It's not just they're getting ozone draws and they're feasting off bad matchups. Like, they are putting in the work, and the work's paying off and on the score sheet.
They're just dominant territorially.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I have no notes. Like, I don't know what more you could really want out of those three when it comes to 5-on-5. And the funny thing is, like, in that game against Detroit, essentially, the three of them end up with like a 60% expected goals rate. And that might be an off night for them with how well they played. So, like, they're just, it's fun to watch. It's really, really impressive stuff. And yeah, the goaltending's been great over this stretch. But we said, you know, we need somebody to step up with Kyle Connor getting down the lineup for a while. And boy, oh boy, has the top line ever answered the bell in a massive way. It's kind of, it's weird. It's been the top line and the fourth line so far. Yeah. It feels like, you know, not that the other two lines have been bad, but the forward line is just crazy right now. And you've said this point a few times before, you know, how Jonsson Fjällby probably entered the season like 15th on the depth chart, something like that. I don't know how you take him out. Like, there might be a couple guys on this team up front that just got Wally pipped if Fjällby's going to keep playing like this. Because, I mean, he's got the flow, he's got the speed, now he's got the hands and the shot. Like, what more do you want out of the guy? They're just having a lot of fun right now, that fourth line.
And you, first of all, before we talk about the fourth line, you brought up the goal by Fjällby. What a pass by Sandberg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, a crazy breakout pass from there. But, yeah, like, you cannot take Jonsson Fjällby out. Ehlers was saying after the game, too, he's like, I haven't seen a guy skate that fast before in my life.
Which is funny because he has a teammate that set the record for highest, or has the highest top speed in the game this season. Like,
well, and, and, Yansipialbi even said too, he's like, well, Ilya just hasn't watched himself play because he's, but like this team has like lots of guys. And I think looking back at the last couple of years, it's not that they didn't have the personnel to be a fast team, but they didn't play that fast style of hockey. And I think this year they've really
we've seen that as Flyers fans.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, just to kind of like tie it to what Tyson means there. And I know the Flyers got rid of a few guys, but like to watch them as a team, like just kind of completely overhaul how they play. And they went from a slow team to a fast team, you know, adding Sean Couturier, who can barely move up and down the ice, right? Like it's a team wide thing. And that I think is kind of what you're getting at with the Jets here, where in the second half of the year last year, everyone's blowing by them and you're like, what's going on? Same group of players for the most part this year. And they just, it's when you're clicking, you don't necessarily have to have speedy guys on your team to be a fast team. It shows up right now. The Jets are playing fast and they're doing so with really, really fast Blazers.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was going to say, is just that this team is really taking on that mantle of being, of really adopting Rick Bonus's system and how he wants this team to play. And it's, like, that's teams like that. And like you mentioned, we don't want to talk too much about the Flyers, even though we could. But like a team like the Flyers, they're in the playoff hunt now. And like you mentioned, they subtracted guys from their team. They didn't really add anyone. But it's just when you have that buy-in, it just gives, it just makes things so much easier. Like it's kind of just layman's terms to say it, but there's no other way to really put it. Like when a team is just clicking together, and then all things are firing all cylinders and they really trust each other, that's the biggest sign of a team that can contend for a Stanley Cup. Like we always hear about, like, especially in football, you never want to be the team that peaks too early, but throughout a season, you can kind of feel when a team is pushing towards those Super Bowl aspirations. And I think the Jets, the Winnipeg Jets, not the New York Jets.
Oh no. But the sure? they might sneak. I don't know. You get hot in the last 3 weeks. You never know, Tice.
Roger, he activated Rogers off IR. He's coming back. But this Winnipeg Jets team, just there's something special about them. And we kind of said it a little bit last year too in the first half of the season, but comparing the way this team feels this year to what they felt like last year after 35, 40 games, I think it's a totally different group, and you can really see it. They want to play for each other.
I would be so crushed if they did a second half collapse again. Because like everyone's believing right now, and it would be tough. That like it would be really,
clean
really
house. Tough. You'd have to absolutely.
I don't even want to think about it. like to do it again would just be that's rough. But since we're going along the macro route here, Tyson, our final episode before the holiday break happens in the NHL, let's take stock of where the Jets are at right now. 31 games in, number one of the Central Division with 41 points so far. Just a point ahead of Dallas, Colorado. Colorado won more played. Dallas won fewer played. But yeah, as it stands, the Jets are the top dog in the Central Division, and only behind Vegas and Vancouver overall in the Western Conference. Their play 1,000% merits it. And Bones was also completely right earlier this week. Average special teams probably has them battling for the President's Trophy right now.
Probably leading the race.
Yeah, yeah, right? Like, he said 5 wins. I mean, even if you want to just do 3 wins, for example, and you put 6 more points up on the board, tied with Vegas. There you go, right? So pretty wild stuff, though, Tice, that, you know, for a club that pretty much everybody thought best-case scenario would be third in the division, could still end up being that way, but it feels like at this point, if it is, it's by the slimmest of margins, and there might not be all that much separating 1, 2, 3 in the Central at the very least, pushing aside whatever goes on in the Pacific.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I think the Jets are a top three team in the West, not even just the Central. Like,
would you have Vegas, Dallas, Winnipeg? Is that,
yeah,
in that order?
I'm not feeling it with Colorado this year. even if they make
one of them here. Somebody brought this up on Twitter. I just found it very interesting, a comparison. But I wish I remembered who sent this out, but it was just kind of intriguing. It might have even been on The Athletic, actually. But somebody said this year's Avs team is almost like the 2019 Winnipeg Jets, and that Nathan MacKinnon is almost like Blake Wheeler in the sense of if things aren't going right and he senses there's a lack of commitment, it's a terrible group to be around. And I mean, it's hard to argue that's not the sentiment right now when you have Devon Taves calling out players on the team for not being essentially motivated or happy with their effort levels. And then another player calling out a dad. What if it's like, it doesn't sound like a great place to be and a very enjoyable room to be a part of playing hockey right now. So, I mean, I wonder, like, there's that part of it that's kind of the intangible and tough to measure how that's going to play out over the course of the year.
Well, and that's exactly why they're not in my top three. That's, yeah, for a lack of a better term, that locker room is effed up. Like, there is something really going on there. Like, it is not pretty. And I do not, and even, like, let's say they add a guy like Lindholm. I don't think it's enough to overcome that stuff. I think that there's a lot of, you lose a lot of those veteran pieces that you had, like Kadri Landeskog. Eric Johnson, too, is a big part of that locker room, and he's in Buffalo now. Like, I think that this team's really looking for answers right now. They're looking at guys like Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen, and they're doing their best. But I think, and that's where the frustration kicks in, where Nathan MacKinnon and Rantanen are going, like, we're the only guys doing anything, and Cale Makar, no one else is contributing. Like, this is, and then I think that's going to start to potentially build a divide. I mean, a lot of season left, a lot of things can still happen.
It can, to me, it's a bit too, if it was like game 70 and this is happening,
yeah.
Yes. 30, and then maybe some deadline additions come in. They've been around the block. I think the Jets, as it stands 30 games in, I think they're a better team than Colorado right now. I would never have dreamed of that going into the season. Right now, to me, it's tough to argue against it because they went up against the Avs two times and, in my opinion, basically blew their doors off through 120 minutes.
Yeah. No, totally. It's this Jets team really does have something over a lot of these other teams. Even LA, like LA, they've kind of been teetering off a little bit from their pace. I'm still not sold on them. I don't care how good the forward core looks. That defense and goaltending is just so terrifying. It really is. Like, you're looking at, like, Drew Doughty's your best defenseman. And while he bounced back last year and he's still having a good season this year, that's a lot to ask for a guy who looked like he couldn't play hockey 3 years ago. And then who's behind him? And then do you really want to hinge your playoff hopes on Cam Talbot in the playoffs? Like,
I think they do.
No, thank you. So I totally think that there's three teams in the West that are a cut above everyone else. Vancouver's close on that edge, I will say.
Yeah, I do get what you're saying with LA. Maybe just a smidgen below. I mean, it would be tough to pick like them over a Vegas, a Dallas, a Colorado, etc. Vancouver's, look, are they? I think they're like a point back of Vegas. Are they that good? I don't think so. But like, if they went up against Winnipeg in a 7-game series, to me, that's a coin flip. Like I think it would be extremely close. So I think Vancouver is right up there. There's been so much discourse about, oh my gosh, their PDO is so high. Like, all that stuff. It's like, look, they've got a number one centerman that's out of this planet. They've got a defenseman vying for the Norris. And a goalie vying. They basically got one guy in each position vying for the best at their position this season. So it's like, it's always tough for me to pick against those teams. And they've got some depth there. So I think Vancouver, I mean, look, I picked them to win the division like an absolute genius before the season. So I'm gonna stick with them as long as I can.
Well, but, and sorry, like I hate it. I agree with you. That PDO stuff is so dumb about the Canucks, where it's just like, well, there's no way that they're going to keep this up all year. Like, why not? Like, they could. Some of those players that they're playing in past their career norms right now, maybe they're entering the new norm of their career with those are the numbers they put up, right? Like, you look at Jonathan Marchessault, and yeah, his advanced stats were solid, but who would have thought that he'd be a 70-point player winning the Conn Smythe? You know what I mean? Like, it's just some players get better sometimes. Like,
yeah, well, I think the main thing, like, is, look, as they had the highest shooting percentage, the highest save percentage by a team in, like, a long, long time. Obviously, they're not going to do that all year long, but they did it. So they don't have to play all that good the rest of the year to finish second in the division, right? So, like, to me, I don't really care. I'm not going to say that they're the best team in the West because I don't think they are. But I really don't think they're all that far off now. Like, I mean, they've got high end pieces there. They're gonna be in the mix come playoff time. I just don't see it happening any other way. But it'll be intriguing to see. I mean, it's also fun too because as we head into January soon, you know, the Athletic released their trade bait board 2.0. It's kind of bare. It's a little scary. Like, at least for high end options. It's basically like the Calgary Flames pending free agents, and then there's not a ton after that. So it's going to be intriguing. We might have to do a whole episode on just like what the targets need to be and who that could potentially be. Because I'm not a big fan of going big for rentals. But if those are the only high-end guys on the market, then maybe this is the year you make an exception for that. And if it's a Lindholm or a Hanifin, like, maybe you just get one of them and see what happens. And at the very least, you're taking them away from a Colorado or a Dallas too. So, yeah, the fun part is there's going to be a lot of intrigue on how this season plays out over the next 51 games for the Winnipeg Jets. But no doubt about it, they have firmly put themselves into the mix. And tough to argue otherwise when you are sitting atop the division nearly halfway through the season as it stands right now. Only one more game for the Jets, actually, before the holiday break will officially kick in for them. And it's a doozy. Talk about a beauty Friday nighter. Jets Bruins. I mean, I always feel like I said this with Huss earlier this week. There's something about Boston coming to town that gets... like, gets the rink a little extra jazzed up. Like, there's going to be some juice Friday night, not just because our buddy Diddy's going to be down there, but there's going to be a ton of juice down at Canada Life Center Friday. And it's the Bruins are always kind of like the ultimate litmus test. But it's nice, too, because it's like, I don't know, they don't really need a litmus test right now because they're playing as good as any team in the league.
Yeah, this is just two heavyweight teams right now going at it. And I'm fully expecting this to be the highest attendance of the season. With, like, you add in that there's a large Bruins contingency too. I'm thinking we're cracking 13,500 fans. I might be getting a little ahead of myself, but maybe we get past 14. Maybe. Just maybe.
So, yeah, we're on a upward trajectory, right? So it doesn't matter. It's going to 13, 14. It'll keep climbing, and we'll get back to where we need to be a few more months into the year. So no worries there. But that's going to be a beauty. Really, really excited to see that game. That's going to have to be if you're not at the game, that's don't bother me. I've got plans for 2.5 hours here. So let's just everybody stay focused. Maybe a pizza. Maybe some DoorDash, whatever it is. And we sit down and we watch some puck for 2.5 hours. So excited to see the Jets take on the Bruins Friday night. But that's going to do it for the episode here. And that's going to do it for us for a little bit. We'll take some time off over the holidays. So we won't be back at it Tuesday morning. But we will get back at it 1 week from today. So next episode coming out Friday morning, which will be the 28th, and just checking the Jets schedule here. They got a game 27th on the road against Chicago before a back-to-back to wrap up the calendar year against Minnesota. So we get the Wild for the first time this season. So we'll get back at it on Friday morning instead of Tuesday morning. So check us out at the end of next week for your next episode. Until then, though, Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, CJOB's Tyson Rewicki with us once again. And of course, hope you guys have a great Christmas, a great holiday season. Stay safe. Have a great time. Enjoy a couple cold ones and some great food with friends and family and all that. And we'll talk to you guys late next week. So again, happy holidays, everybody. We'll talk soon. Peace.